If you're beginning your retirement savings journey in your 50s, here's what you can anticipate and the actions you may need to contemplate. Today, we dig into retirement savings, 8 outcomes when you begin saving in your 50s.
Welcome in to Your Retirement with Sam Jennings.
Welcome to Your Retirement, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Chuck Caton for Duell Financial Strategies. And in studio this week, we have Sam Duell and Luke Van Abel. And remember, they can give you that no-cost, no-obligation retirement lifestyle review when you decide with almost 25 years of experience as fiduciaries to help you in retirement. And always remember, they've got two offices in the Fox Valley, one in Appleton and one in Green Bay. And as we all know, Sam, that embarking on retirement in your 50s might seem like a late move. I'm sure you've seen some clients walk into your office that way. But nonetheless, maybe some life twists and turns lead some individuals to this very scenario. They don't think of saving for retirement, or there have been some unforeseen circumstances. So you're going to talk, you and Luke, about what they can do to compensate for that so they can have a nice retirement. And I guess when you're working, don't forget that when you turn that golden age of 50, you can increase your contribution limits on your 401k with your employer.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of key. If you're getting a late start for whatever reason, that means that you got ground to make up. And if you got ground to make up, that means you need to put more on the ground. So one of the ways you can do that is by taking advantage of those increased contribution limits. So if you're over 50 years old, you can do what they call a catch-up. And this would be to your retirement accounts, your regular IRAs, anything permitted by the IRS, which is basically any type of a retirement savings account with an IRA or a 403B or something after it. You can make these higher contributions, and that will help boost the values of those accounts. That can substantially enhance your retirement savings within a shorter time frame. But just remember, if for whatever reason you've been late getting to the savings game, you've got ground to make up. So just saying, oh, I'm just going to contribute 5%, I'm just going to contribute 6%, that is not going to get the job done. You are going to have to be contributing the maximum amount that you possibly can if you are looking at that time frame horizon where you want to retire in the next 12 to 15 years.
All right, tell me, Luke, is it good or bad to have an aggressive investment strategy? It seems that could be a double-edged sword, but you may need to if you're starting your savings for retirement so late.
Yeah, I think it is a double-edged sword because, of course, riskier assets, you know, have the potential to return more, but there's a lot more volatility that comes with that. So I think the temptation is that you may want to take huge amounts of risk to sort of make up for lost time, whatever that reason is. But you do need to be careful that, we don't know what the market's going to do. We don't know what, 6 months from now or 5 years from now could bring. And if all of a sudden, the market turns around and corrects and you've drop down 50% because of the market, well, that's kind of counterproductive to what you're trying to accomplish here.
You just threw away everything that you worked so hard to save.
Exactly. Seeking the advice from a financial advisor that can assist in customizing a strategy, keeping in mind that there's other strategies available than just, passively buying and holding a select few stocks, a select few group of mutual funds. There's other more hands-on approach that can help reduce some of the risk, but still give you some opportunities when there's opportunities in the market for that money to grow, because you need it to grow because you're probably behind a little bit if you're just getting started in your 50s.
Sam, I would think that one of the pitfalls of starting late in terms of saving for retirement is that you have a shorter time to compound interest if you do save.
Well, that's the problem. And that's, that's what Luke was speaking to there, is that the earlier you start saving, the more you get to take advantage of compounding interest. And if you don't know what compounding interest is, that just means money, making money on money. So, if I have a dollar and that doubles to $2, and then if that doubles, it goes to $4. So that's compounding. That's what happens when you have money that makes money. There's simple interest and there's compounding interest. And compounding interest is really the secret sauce, because it's compounding interest plus time is what allows you to accrue the amount of monies that you have inside of your account. So yes, you're going to have a shorter time horizon for that. That's why you have to increase your contribution limits, and you may have to look strategically at your investment strategies.
And Luke, if you are starting late, and we're talking about people in their 50s who may start, and it may be you out there, ladies and gentlemen, you know, get going, because otherwise you might have to reassess when you retire.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just getting started in your 50s with saving and, you know, retirement assets, you know, you may need to explore whether or not, you know, that traditional retirement age of 62 for some, 65 for others is going to get you to the place that you need to be. So, you know, will you have enough? You know, what's your retirement lifestyle need to look like? One of the things you can control is your spending and what you're going to need to spend on. So if you're getting started late, put some extra money in the retirement and also live on less. And then hopefully you can carry that through to retirement. But you're going to need to retake a look and make sure that you have a plan for when can you actually exit stage left at work and have enough to for those assets to last what could be 20 to 30 more years.
All right. And what about the ramifications of maximizing Social Security benefits, too? Because, Sam, that's important for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, this all goes hand in hand again with what Luke was talking about. You're going to have to reassess everything. Every aspect of retirement is going to have to be reassessed if you're going to retire, or if you're a late saver. You are likely not going to retire at 62 if you don't start saving until you're 50, because you can't physically save enough inside of the limitations of the federal government's contribution limits to actually make that happen. I mean, if you think about it, right around $30,000 is what you could put away based on what you could put into a 401k and what your employer might match into that. So if you're only doing that for 10 years, that's only $300,000. You can't retire at age 62 on $300,000 and think you're going to be withdrawing $30,000 from it, because it just won't work. The math just won't work. So you're going to have to reassess everything, and you're going to have to look at Social Security along with that. You may need to work until late into your 60s so that we can get you towards that maximum Social Security withdrawal age of 70, so that you have the most income coming into the household as possible. Because that's the other thing, Chuck, is that because your retirement savings account is going to necessarily be smaller because you didn't have much time, it's less and less pressure you can put on it. If you think about that, if 4% is the magic number for how much to withdraw from a sustainable retirement portfolio, and you've only got $300,000 saved, folks, that's only $12,000 a year. That's all you can take out of that account without running the risk of running out of money. So a lot of thought has to go into this. I would well say that you're going to have to put more thought into efficient and strategic retirement planning and income planning if you're starting to save late in your life than you have to if you've been saving your entire working career.
And Luke, I think that to amplify what Sam's saying, if you're starting late in terms of retirement savings, you may have to downsize or relocate from where you're living currently.
Right. And that might be a force change. That might be, you know, something that, you know, is not high on your priority list. But you may want to consider, you know, downsizing the home, moving to somewhere more affordable. Now, here in Northeast Wisconsin, we're pretty affordable relative to the rest of the country. But this downsize can help you, you know, release some of that equity that you've probably got built up in that home. You can use that to bolster the savings, the retirement savings. And it's also going to decrease your living costs, because hopefully that downsize means, you know, smaller utility bills, smaller maintenance, smaller taxes, and everything that goes along with that to enhance what you're going to have for your retirement.
You have to save too, Sam, don't you? Because healthcare costs are front and center as well, and you may not have one of the more comprehensive insurance plans to compensate for it.
Number one question that we get when people come in, if they're going to retire before the age of 65, is how am I going to pay for my health insurance? So again, as we said in the very beginning, here's the double-edged sword. You can't afford to retire before the age of 65 if you don't have any savings because you can't pay for the health insurance. You've got to wait until Medicare age. And healthcare costs do tend to get more expensive as we age. Stuff starts to break. Stuff needs to be replaced. All of those sorts of things. So if you're not saving until later in your retirement, this has got to be a major factor for you to consider.
Absolutely. And finally, Luke, as we wrap this segment up about saving late, starting in your 50s, which we hope our listeners aren't doing. I hope they're doing it a lot earlier than this. You must reduce your debt.
Absolutely. Entering retirement debt-free is going to be especially vital for those that have started this process a little bit later. You know, limiting savings can lead to, you know, monthly debt payments, consuming funds rapidly. So you want to make sure that you're prioritizing paying down the debt. Take a look at, you know, what are the credit cards? What are the car payments? What are the payments that you have that have some of those high interest rates, the highest interest rates out there, and start putting some extra on there. Also, you know, take a look at a mortgage, maybe a refinance at some point in the future. But target those higher debt instruments first, and then start to work your way down to the lower interest rate ones after.
All right, Sam, so what can we do for our listeners?
You know, we want to offer that retirement lifestyle review to you to take a look at and see where you're at, how you're doing, what you need to do, and what direction you need to go. Because at the end of the day, you've got to have a plan. You've got to have the right type of advisor on your side, that being one that emphasizes and focuses on retirement at all times, because that is what we do every day at Dual Financial Strategies.
All right. That number is 866-203-7486. You'll get that retirement lifestyle review. And it, remember, it comes at no cost, no obligation. Whether you want to visit the Green Bay office or the Appleton office, anywhere in the Fox Valley that you're listening to this program, Dual Financial Strategies, Sam, Andy, and Luke are at your service so that you can have a very successful retirement. Once again, that number is 866-203-7486. What's coming up next, Sam?
When we come back, we'll dig into some low-risk investments that can help build retirement income. That and more right after this.
Welcome back to Dual Financial Strategies program, Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, and in studio this week is Sam Dual. Andy Schooler is on assignment. Luke Van Abel is also with us along with Sam, and we're going to be talking a little bit more with their quarter of a century of experience for you to enjoy your retirement, whether you're starting in your 50s or, in this particular case, looking for low-risk investments that will build your retirement income, because we know as you get older, the less risk you should have in your portfolio. So Sam and Luke have put together some low-risk investments that can boost your income in retirement. And even though we've seen interest rates go up in trying to buy a house, I guess real estate, Sam, would still be a good investment today. It always is, isn't it?
Well, it's a good income source. I don't know that I would go so far as to say that it's a good investment.
Right.
But it's if you have real estate already. If you think you're going to go out and buy a real estate portfolio like today, and that's going to be your retirement income, that's probably not going to happen. But if you do have real estate, of course, renting it out, it can generate cash flow. It can be a viable option for you if you already own it, because the big thing you've got to focus on and think about in retirement is income. That's the very first problem that you have to solve for. How much money do you need in order to fund your retirement lifestyle every month? But that all comes at a cost. So if you own the rental property outright, that's good because you don't have as heavy a burden against it. But as we talked about in the last segment, you can't be servicing debt and saving money all at the same time. It just doesn't work. It's no different with real estate. You can't go out and buy a rental property and be servicing the debt against it and having positive cash flow, because that's the only way that it turns into income with real estate is if it is positive cash flow. So it has to be a mortgage-free property for you.
Absolutely true. All right, we're talking about trying to determine some low-risk investments that you can execute, Luke. What about bond funds?
Yeah, so on the other side of the coin from equities, we have bonds that you'll see in that lovely pie chart in your 401k and IRA statements. But one of the simplest ways and methods of establishing a diversified bond portfolio is to invest in bond mutual funds or bond exchange traded funds in lieu of going out and buying individual bond holdings. Now, bond funds offer a range of different options, just like stocks do. Now, there's passive, there's actively managed bond funds, there's long-term ones, there's short-term ones, there's domestic ones here in the United States, and of course, there's international exposure across the big bodies of water. But these bonds are essentially debt instruments. So they're safer because the debt holders have a higher claim. So if you own a bond fund, you have a higher claim on assets than, say, the equity holder would. But now you need to consider that the different types of bond funds that you choose, your goals and your risk tolerance still needs to be aligned. So just because this is overall, generally speaking, a safer asset class, it's important to consider what bonds you use because of the varying risk. You know, there's things like T-bills, treasury bonds, that carry very little risk, all the way up to and kind of the other end of the spectrum, what they call junk bonds, which, not that they're all necessarily junk, but those junk bonds carry significantly more risk of default than, say, the treasury bonds would. So investing in bond funds, that's a great way to diversify portfolio versus the individual ones. But this is absolutely an asset class that should be considered for you the closer you get to retirement if you're looking for lower risk investments.
All right. If you were looking for lower risk, Sam, let's talk about high yield savings accounts. I know I've got a couple of them, and one of them is with an online bank. One of them is with my brick and mortgage savings and checking banker.
Yeah, and high-yield savings accounts, they're one of the simplest and safest options that there are. Basically, that's money that you're being paid on your money by putting it into a bank or a credit union. And you're right, they're everywhere. You can do this type of saving online today. You can do it at credit unions. You can do it at traditional brick-and-mortar banks. Now, you're not going to get as much in a high-yield savings account as you would in probably a CD, but this is a good opportune time for that. The one thing that I would have you remember and have you be aware of is that as human beings, we're very, very short-term thinkers. People start to get used to something, and then because that's the way it is today, they start to think this is the way it's always going to be. It's not a matter if interest rates are going to fall. It's just a matter of when. So it's not if they're going to come back down again. It's just a matter of when. So you have to look at something like a high yield savings account as a temporary plan. This is not your retirement savings plan, because if you looked at this and you said, well, this is great, I can get 4% at the bank. What are you going to do when you're only getting 1% at the bank? So look at a high yield savings account as a supplement to everything else that you're doing. Maybe that's your emergency fund, but it shouldn't be your primary plan, because the handwriting is on the wall, as they would say, on savings accounts, that they are not going to stay at the levels they're at right now for a long period of time.
No, that's absolutely true. And I know that in my particular case, they promised me 6 months, like a CD.
Sure.
And then another one who gave me a little bit more of a percentage said it could be a variable situation, but we would give you like 5 to 10 days notice. So you're right. It's something you don't fully rely upon for all of your savings. That's for sure. It should be an ancillary investment, so to speak, to grow your money when you're not using it for anything else.
Yeah, for sure. And one other thing, Chuck, that I would remind listeners of, or maybe educate listeners on, because I don't think that this is commonly understood, is that when you see rates for CDs or savings accounts or anything like that, that is almost always expressed as an APY, an annual percentage yield. What would you make on this in a year? So I've got so many people that are coming into the offices today who are buying 9-month CDs, and the bank will advertise a 9-month CD and say, oh, it's a, you know, it's a 4.9% APY. You're not going to make 4.9% on that CD in 9 months. You would make 4.9% on that CD in 12 months, because that would be your annual percentage. But you will make something less than that. So I want you to keep that in mind. good for you. People that are getting surprised, you mentioned like a 6-month thing. It's not uncommon at all for them to express the 6-month as an annual percentage yield, but because it's only in there for 6 months, you're not going to get that. So just keep that in mind because it's just math, but the advertising, it's not that it's bad and it's not that it's wrong, but it's just a little bit for a lot of these institutions I'm seeing. It's just a little bit on the edge of disingenuous because it could very, very easily and is very easily misconstrued and confused as to how much percent people are actually making on their money.
Absolutely. It's kind of like the fine print when you do any kind of investment.
Yes.
Well, can they the make the letters print. Any smaller? The, it's amazing. How about municipal bonds, Luke? A good thing to do for low risk investment?
Yeah, so this is a type of bond. We were talking about bonds a little bit ago. This is a type of debt security that's issued by a nonprofit organization. So, i.e., think, you know, government entities, counties, states. You know, they're going to be backed by taxpayers basically as the base. Now, constructing a portfolio of municipal bonds, it's important to have geographic diversification and also varying levels of maturity dates, because essentially if you owned all the bonds in one area or you had all the bonds in, you know, a similar maturity date, that's like having all the eggs in one basket, so to speak. Municipal bonds are often one of the advantages to municipal bonds because they're coming from nonprofit organizations is that the interest is often tax exempt federally, could be to the state as well. But you have to remember that as we get closer to retirement, as we get closer to taking Social Security as an income source, that prior to taking Social Security, that bond interest from municipal bonds only is tax exempt. After you start taking Social Security, that bond interest needs to be included in the formula for determining how much of your Social Security is going to be taxable. So it's not a truly tax deferred or tax exempt, rather, is what I meant, source of income as we get into retirement. So keep that in mind for another safe alternative.
Absolutely. And as we wrap this segment up, Sam, before you could tell people what Dual Financial Strategies will do for them, go back to work, even. Use your own time investment. That's about as low risk as possible, as long as you're physically able to help yourself out. That's a good way to save some money, too, if you're coming into retirement.
Yeah, you have to look at what is the value of my time. And that's very, very true. Your time can be turned into money. Like you said, whether it's maybe you have a serious hobby, woodworking, painting. The list goes on and on that you could monetize. You could sell some of these things. You could do some of this work. Maybe you've got spare time or something that you like to do. Boy, especially if you're in retail, or I see a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to go to work for whoever because I'll get a 10% discount and I can make money in 20 hours a week. So don't forget that your time is valuable. And if you have a shortfall or if you're just looking for extra money, use your time, use your talent, especially in today's world. I mean, in today's world, my goodness, you know, nobody wants to work. I just saw an article the other day that I think it's estimated that right now there's somewhere between like 7 and 8 million adult males between the ages of 18 and 45 that are simply not in the workforce anymore. Hmm. Well, folks, for those of us that are older, with the talents that you've got, with the experience that you've got, you can literally go in and almost name your own deal for going to work part-time. So take advantage of the overall laziness of today's society and take advantage of your time and experience and monetize that if you are so inclined.
Absolutely. And also take advantage of Dual Financial Strategies operational feedback that they will give you on your retirement. It's a key when you call 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. Sam, Andy, and Luke will be happy to sit down with you at no cost, no obligation, and administer a retirement lifestyle review for you. And remember, this is individual to your needs, desires, wants in retirement, because it is all about your retirement. So visit them, either the Green Bay office, the Appleton office of Dual Financial Strategies, and remember that number, 866-203-7486. Make that no cost, no obligation appointment now. Let's take a break, Sam. What's coming up next?
Having a secure retirement takes planning and time. And when we come back, we'll outline 7 ways you can help ensure you have a retirement worth celebrating.
Well, it's time to celebrate in this segment of Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, sitting in with Sam Doole and Luke Van Abel this week of Doole Financial Strategies. Remember, they have almost a quarter of a century of helping people in the Fox Valley, whether it's out of their Green Bay office or their Appleton office, get through retirement and to and through retirement, as they are fiduciaries, which means you come first. They are at your beck and call. They're at your service. So they give them a call at 866-203-7486. All right, let's talk about some of these ways that people, Sam, can have a retirement worth celebrating, because as people get close to retirement, we've covered a lot of ground previously on this show. But again, we're going to, I think, reiterate some of these themes of what they need to do to have a successful retirement, and that is try as much as you can while you're working to maximize your retirement savings.
Oh, for sure. You know, it goes back to the old saying, a penny saved is a penny earned. Begin saving for retirement early in your career. Save early and often. That's going to enhance the chances of a secure retirement. Regular systematic savings, it allows you to ride through the highs and the lows that you're going to encounter both in the economy and in the stock markets. Maximize your tax savings, folks. This is the one area that we believe is the most often overlooked by the vast majority of advisors. Tax savings. Folks, every dollar that you do not send to the federal government or the state government because you were a smart, efficient tax planner is a dollar that stays in your pocket. We have been essentially Pavlov's dogs trained into paying more in taxes than you need to in most cases, or being very inefficient, because when you're working, the money automatically comes out of a paycheck and you never ever see it. So be tax efficient both in your savings, and then boy, for those of you that are going into retirement, if you do not have a tax-efficient withdrawal plan, you are absolutely throwing money into the fireplace. Use your company 401ks. Use those matches. Shame on you if your employer is giving you a match on your 401k or your retirement plan and you're not taking advantage of it. I mean, if they give you a 5% match, folks, that's free money. If you got to put in 5 to get 5, put in 5. You just save 10% at the end of the day. So make sure you're doing that. And then if there are eligible accounts outside of your retirement savings plan because you're maxing those out, use them to your advantage.
Absolutely true. And a fancy way of saying get out of debt, Luke, is reduce your payment obligations.
Yes, reducing those payment obligations, that is a great way to create financial security at any stage in life. You know, larger debts can make it more difficult to have an emergency fund as well. So if you're focusing so much on the debt, then we're not contributing to that emergency fund, and then something else happens, and now this further makes the problem worse. The other thing to keep in mind is that there's better and worse debt to have. So you want to prioritize what I'm going to call the worst debt, the consumer debt, the credit card debt, the things that carry much higher interest rates. We'll call, for the sake of this conversation, the mortgage that may have, you know, a 2 or 3% interest rate associated with it, a better debt. So focus on getting that worst debt paid down. And by paying down that debt, it allows you to prioritize using your retirement savings for living expenses rather than paying off the debts in retirement. So it's going to free up a lot more cash flow each and every month.
Absolutely true. Now, Sam, what about establishing a retirement income source or sources? Because you want different rivers, streams of income coming when you're in retirement. You got to prepare for that.
It's absolutely imperative that you have income sources. Because here's what happens. Right now, your income source is a paycheck provided to you by an employer. At some point in time, we're cutting that income source off. So now we have to develop your own income sources. What are your retirement income sources? Well, first and foremost, it's usually Social Security for people. Maybe you're one of the fortunate few who still has a pension that you could take advantage of. Maybe an income source is a part-time job. There's multiple different areas there that could be an income source. But at the end of the day, for the vast majority of you, your income source is going to become some portion of your retirement savings, some percentage of your retirement savings withdrawn on a regular basis. However, you have to have something that's sustainable. You have to have something that is reliable, because all of a sudden, if you are taking 5%, 4% out of your retirement savings account and you just have it all thrown into the stock market, and then we get a 2022 or something like that where the market just absolutely plummets, well, now you're taking mathematically much, much more out of it. You're depleting it faster. So think about stable, guaranteed, reliable income is first, and then risk or volatility-based income would be second.
Number four on the list of the seven ways you can help ensure that you have a retirement worth celebrating in this segment of Your Retirement is, and why is this important, Luke, to regularly rebalance your investment portfolio?
Yeah, well, you want to ensure the proper weighting. So when we talk about rebalancing, it means that, you know, equities, your bond holdings, those might be growing at different rates, growing and losing at different rates. And so rebalancing portfolios is important because you might be carrying more risk inside of that 401k or that IRA than you really think you are. And being too aggressive, that can pose, you know, significant risks that, of course, would probably be obvious. But being too conservative also is equally not as productive, because now we may not be able to keep up with inflation. So you're not in that sweet spot for your investment return to be able to continue to grow so that can provide you the income that you're looking for in retirement. So start by ensuring that you have the appropriate risk tolerance. That can be done through our website. We have a Riskalyze portal there that you can go through. You can have a conversation with us. We are going to start that conversation with risk so that we can see, when's the last time your portfolio was rebalanced? Maybe this hasn't been done. For a lot of people, it hasn't been done. They just go out, they pick some different funds in their 401k, they let it ride, and little do they know that they're taking on much more risk than they were comfortable with.
Even people that have just what we would call the generic financial planners, the big box folks, that's probably true, never been rebalanced or reassessed.
So that leads, Sam, into reducing your asset risk and just being mindful of doing that.
You know, being mindful of doing it, Chuck, and also we have this conversation so often with people, understanding what risk is, okay, and understanding how you make money. Chuck, there has been a myth, and I'm going to say an absolute downright orchestrated lie that's being told to people today and has been told to them for many, many years, and it's going to continue for many years into the future. And the myth and the lie is this: in order to make more money, you have to take more risk. That's simply not true. Actually, it's hogwash. It's absolute hogwash if someone is telling you in order to make more money, you have to take more risk. 180 degrees polar opposite is true. Folks, in order to make more money, you have to not lose money first, because you don't get to make money and lose money all at the same time. Because then the other lie that will get thrown into that, which is on the back of in order to make more money, you've got to take more risk, is, oh, don't worry about it. Just hang in there, because it's all going to come back. It is not all going to come back. It's simply not going to, because it's mathematically impossible for most of you that are in retirement or just starting to retirement to ever catch up again. Reducing asset risk is paramount. That doesn't mean just putting your money in your sock drawer. It doesn't mean just doing all CDs. It doesn't mean just putting all of the money away into something that would be quote unquote what you would consider safe. It means looking at different asset classes. It's exactly what Luke was talking about. We use third-party, non-biased software to determine this. We look at asset classes relative to the risk that you are facing in that, and relative, more importantly, to what your risk capacity and your risk tolerance is. So please, please, please break out of this old-fashioned lie that you've been told that in order to make more money, you got to take more risk. and get into the modern world of fiduciary financial planning, where we're looking at things specifically designed to you and for you, for your use, rather than for the income needs of the broker that's trying to sell you the product.
All right, you want to celebrate a great retirement. One of the other ways, Luke, as we wrap up this segment, is maybe downsizing a bit, whether you want to or not. That is very prudent in a lot of cases, isn't it?
Yeah, it really can be, because there's significant expense that goes into our home, into the payments, into the taxes, into the maintenance, into the utilities. The list goes on. There is a large emotional connection, so I feel like it's not on a lot of people's radar to even consider selling the home. They just think, well, I got to have a place to live, so by golly, it's going to be here. Now, if that current home has been paid off and meets your long-term goals, it meets, you know, is within your budget to be able to support that spot, you know, staying there could be viable, could be even optimal for you. However, moving can enhance your retirement security in certain situations. So freeing up that extra money, freeing up a payment if you're one of those that's still carrying some debt on that. So downsizing that to something smaller can help ensure that your living situation is aligned with your personal and your retirement goals.
All right, so Sam, boil it down for us. What can you do for our listeners?
Strategic development, efficiency, planning. That's what it's all about, Chuck. For those of you that have saved at least $250,000 for your retirement, we'd like to provide you with that retirement lifestyle review, that comprehensive financial review. Let's start with your tax situation. Money you send to the state and federal governments is money you don't get to keep. So let's start there and let's uncover some long-term tax issues and fix them in your current portfolios. Let's establish what your retirement income goal needs to be, because only by knowing what your income goal needs to be do we know how to position you. Let's analyze your current investments. Let's look where you're at in risk. Let's find out, do your current investments match where you're at this point in your life? And if they don't, then let's fix that too. It all starts with a phone call. It's a retirement lifestyle review, and it's up to you to make your retirement what you've always wanted it to be.
And Sam, the best part is it's at no cost, no obligation when you sit down with Sam, Andy, or Luke at Dual Financial Strategies. And that phone number that Sam's referring to is 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. You'll get that comprehensive retirement lifestyle review. Where are you in your process of retirement? Is it feasible? How do you want to live? What are your desires, your dreams? When you hang them up from your job. 866-203-7486. That's the number. And you can visit with them in either their Green Bay office or their office in Appleton. Well, it's been a great show, but we got one more segment.
We do. And when we come back, it's time once again for questions from you and answers from us. That and more right after this.
Dual Financial Strategies concludes with Your Retirement, the program thereof. I'm Chuck Caton, sitting in along with Sam Dual and Luke Van Abel of Dual Financial Strategies. And once again, their phone number is 866-203-7486. Give them a call. No cost, no obligation to speak with them about your retirement. Now, we've covered a lot of ground today, Sam, but we've got five people that want to ask you and Luke some questions. So are you all set to go?
Yeah, we love this part of the show. It's actually, I would probably say, our favorite part of the entire show.
All right, let's tackle some of these now. Let's go to Green Bay. Marge is there, and she wants to know, do you pay a higher amount in taxes on a post-tax Roth IRA or a pre-tax 401k? My understanding is that with the 401k, you'd need to pay the taxes on a much higher total given the compounding interest over time versus the much smaller amount in the Roth IRA.
Yeah, that's correct, Marge. I mean, if we're looking at this over a long period of time, you certainly are, because you pay the taxes on the Roth IRA at your tax rate today. So it's what we would call a known known. You know exactly how much you're going to pay in taxes, and then your initial deposit plus any gains that you make on the money in that Roth IRA are now tax-free. So we never get a tax bill for that. And also, interestingly enough, in a Roth IRA, you're never required to pull money out of that under that required minimum distribution age. The pre-tax 401k is just that. You don't pay taxes on the money that goes in today. So if you put $100 into it, You don't pay any money in taxes on that. But at some point in time, you are going to be required, forced by the federal government to take that money out of there. So when you do that, you're going to pay taxes on the original $100 deposit. You're going to pay taxes on all of the gains that have happened inside of that account. And you're going to do that at the tax rate that you're in at that point in time. So we call this an unknown unknown, because we don't know exactly when you're going to take the money out, unless it's 73 or 75 when required minimum distributions start and will start in the future. We know that, but we have no idea what's going to happen to taxes between now and then. So yes, on a long-term basis, the Roth IRA is going to be much, much more efficient than the other one is going to be, with a very few exceptions.
Now, Sam, as an ancillary question, I've gotten this question asked of me from time to time. When you talk about a qualified account versus a non-qualified account, whether it's an annuity, it's an IRA, can you explain quickly the difference? And do you or don't you have to take RMDs out of a non-qualified account?
Yeah, the only difference, Chuck, is the tax implications. And a non-qualified account would be money that's not in some sort of a retirement savings plan. IRAs, Roth IRA, 401k, 403b, 557. Non-qualified, think of non-qualified as the money that you saved over on the side.
Yeah.
Whether it's in your emergency fund, your savings account. No, you're never required to take a distribution from the non-qualified account. And with the non-qualified account, that's typically what we would call a pay-as-you-go account. In other words, any interest, any dividends, any capital gains that you make on that non-IRA money, that goes on to and is accounted for on your tax return every year.
All righty. Let's go to Jerry and Seymour now, who is going to be turning 73 in November, when he's going to be required to make his first RMD. So he says, can I avoid taking the initial withdrawal and the second withdrawal in the same year?
Hi, Jerry. Yes. So the new required distribution ages after two Secure Act changes is 73 right now. So the age that you have to take that is in the year in which you turn 73, which if you are turning 73 this November, then yes, you should take a distribution this year. Now, if you an option that they give you only the first year of taking a required distribution, you can delay that required distribution from this year in your case, because you're turning 73. To next year, by the tax deadline, you would have to pull out the required distribution for 2024. But then at some point throughout the rest of the year, you would have to take the required distribution for that year. So to avoid having to take those two withdrawals in one year, one tax year, which could be taxed at a higher level, depending on the other income that you have, then you would take the one tax distribution, the one required distribution this year, in 2024, and then wait until next year and take your required distribution for that year at that time, which would spread it out essentially over two tax years instead of one. Another thing to consider is explore taking withdrawals, you know, for people that are prior to required distribution age. Explore taking some withdrawals prior to required distribution time. Also looking at conversions. There's other things that can be done to reduce your tax liability, to keep more money in your pocket than meets the eye.
All righty. Let's go to Carl in Greenville. This one's for you, Sam. He says, I'm 50 years old. I've got 13 years vested in a public agency that offers a PERS pension plan. That's a P-E-R-S plan with 2.7% at age 55. But I've been offered a job at another agency for a $15,000 raise, but only a PERS retirement plan with a 2% at 60. So which makes more financial sense given the pension and salary options that I have, staying in my current job or switching to the new job? This sounds like a math question I got in ninth grade an SAT test.
And you know what, Carl? I hate to be vague on this, but you're just got to do the math on it.
Yeah.
just run the math on it and figure out, you know, what's the difference between the two. It's like, what's the monetary difference? you know, and then I suppose a lot of it would come down to is that, would you enjoy the new job at the different area? Mm-hmm. So do the math yourself on that one. It's as you said, Chuck, this answer is done with a calculator.
That's, I was going to say that he asked you to be Rain Man. You're not Dustin Hoffman in disguise,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, Luke, let's go to Kakana now, and Jean is there. This is Jean the female, spelled J-E-A-N. Well, it could be Jean, too. I'm not going to... it could be somebody...
we'll go with Gene. We're in the Midwest.
Okay. Yeah, in the Midwest, it's Gene.
Absolutely.
Pretty good chance it's Gene.
Parlez-vous... Well, what about Fond du Lac? Well, anyway, let's go to the... I'm inheriting $250,000. I've got no savings or retirement at 54 years of age. It must be a male because the female wouldn't say how old she was. But anyway, how can I invest this money and make it last? There's a quarter of a million there, Luke. What would you do?
Hi, Gene. Well, there's so much to talk about. There's so much to figure out before a plan or a strategy can be put in place with $250,000. So nice to have a little bit of a nest egg. Of course, that probably came with a loss in your life. So sorry to hear about that. But, you know, there's some general questions, things that we talk about for a lifestyle review, like what are you living on now? You know, what do you need to live? What is going to support your lifestyle when you're ultimately retired? You know, you want to start coming up with these numbers, just having a general idea if you don't know, because this is going to be a great determiner in how long the money will last. It's also helpful to look at, you know, have you pulled a Social Security statement? Going to SSA.gov to determine at 62, what's your eligible benefit? At 65, 67, your full retirement age, what will the benefits be there? We also want to talk about goals, because every single person, I mean, if we've learned nothing over the last couple decades of helping families in or near retirement, it's that every one of you is unique. So it's not just, hey, I've got money, and then we plug everybody into the same plan. Absolutely not. Another piece, and I know we talk about this a lot, is what makes you unique is your comfort level with risk. So one person comes in, they say, I'm really conservative. Another person comes in and they say, well, I'm really conservative. Until we start digging into the weeds and what they're comfortable with from a risk level, sometimes two people are saying conservative means two different things. So have the due diligence done. Don't let someone just talk you into doing something with the investments before they fully understand what it is you're looking for, what your goals are, what you're trying to accomplish. We can do that here at Dual Financial Strategies if you give us a call.
All right, final question is for you, Sam, from Norm in Appleton. He says, I want to have money to leave to my children after retirement and my passing. If I have $1 million saved at retirement and I apply the 3% or 4% rule and only take withdrawals at that rate for the rest of my life, will my initial investment still be $1 million after 30 or more years in retirement if I invest 50-50 in stocks and bonds? Get out your crystal ball.
Well, I mean, I guess if we looked at past historical charts of a 50-50 stock to bond ratio portfolio would indicate that, yes, your original principal would still be there, that it might even be more than that. However, not knowing what the future looks like, it's an impossible question to answer. I would say that if you're starting with $1 million and we're only pulling 3% to 4% on it, yes, there's probably a very good likelihood that you're going to leave, if not all, the vast majority of that money to the kids. But one of the things you might want to think about, depending upon total age, health, all of those sorts of things, is if you want guaranteed money to go to the kids, frankly, you need to be buying life insurance. That's what it's there for. Life insurance is designed for two purposes and two purposes only for most consumers, not business life insurance, but it's either for helping out debt obligations if you die early. So if you die too soon and you leave behind kids and a house and a mortgage and all of that sort of stuff, well, then it helps that. The second thing that people use life insurance for as a consumer is legacy planning. So you might want to think about that. This is it's a tax-free option when you do that. You know, what if you are in good health and what if you would qualify? Well, if you want to do a guarantee and you want to leave a tremendous legacy, you might want to look at taking part of that money that you're going to withdraw from there, working with someone who is very, very well versed in this area, like Dual Financial Strategies is, and see, can I leverage part of this money into something even greater for my kids? So don't just think in the box, if you would, about how do I invest it? What do I do? If you have $1 million saved, you're at a totally different level of planning. You're at a totally different level of need. And you need to be working with advisors who know and understand the amount of money that you have, who have that amount of money themselves, and who know and understand the techniques for getting you where you want to be.
And that's why Sam said what he said, and that's why Dual Financial Strategies can help you. They're a fiduciary firm. You come first, and their retirement lifestyle review can be yours at no cost, no obligation, when you make that appointment at either the Green Bay office or the Appleton office at 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. Give them a call. Sam, Andy, and Luke are at your service to help you to and through retirement anywhere you're listening to us in the Fox Valley, because that's what they do, and they do it very well with a lot of care and concern for your future. Sam, it's been a great show. What do you have to say in closing?
You know that what we always want to say, Chuck, is just thank you. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Thanks for giving us part of your weekend. We'll be back here again next week, and we hope you are too.
Investment advisory services offered through Dual Financial Strategies, LLC, a Wisconsin registered investment advisor. Dual Financial Strategies does not provide legal or tax advice. Investment advisor representatives of Dual Financial Strategies may only conduct business with residents of the states and jurisdictions in which they are properly registered. Insurance and annuity products are sold through Dual Financial Strategies.